for a while.
Why?
It's an away game. It's an away game.
I'm coming home soon.
Game on. Game on.
Game on.
He shoots, he scores.
Oh. One for one.
That is going wild.
Score. Game on.
Let's go. Quickly, cuts down the angle.
Gretzky
Sims.
Oh, Gretzky is denied. Choked in the open net.
G'day, I'm Eric, and welcome to Eric to the Penalty Box for the final time in 2015. Where's my note? I've been in the penalty box for an extended period of time. This is episode 31, covering the last week of the regular season. The postseason, or what we call the semi-finals and the grand final, and also the All-Star game in Newcastle. So you might remember that the last series of games that I covered here on Eric to the Penalty Box were on August 15 and 16, and then for the following weekend I was going to be in Melbourne for the Bears road trip against the Mustangs and against the Ice, and then I wasn't going to come home, and hence no episode covering the final week of the regular season on the 23rd of August, and then I would be in Melbourne for the finals weekend and then return home and then do an episode after that. But what ended up happening was I ended up getting majorly sick and spending about 3 weeks off work. So, midway between the Bears roadie and the finals, I was sick and basically had to isolate myself for a few days to make sure that I even made it to the finals in some sort of fit human shape, although I wasn't 100%. And then after that, I went home and I've been recovering since. And I went to work for one day and then I'm like, no, I haven't fully recovered yet. So, All good, so day to day, but aren't we all? And then, of course, the All-Stars game last weekend, which I ended up missing because I was in bed, basically. So let's talk about briefly what happened before we go into some detail for the last episode of Hector the Penalty Box for this year. I've been waiting until I've been in better health to record this episode, but of course I wanted to record the episode to put a full stop on the year. So let's have a look what happened in the last week of the regular season. The Bears travelled to Melbourne, and as I mentioned, I saw both of those games at the Medibank Icehouse. The Mustangs defeated the Bears 4-1 on Saturday, and then the Ice defeated the Bears 5-3 on Sunday. And so that saw the Bears out for the season. The last game of the CBR Brave season was in Canberra, but it was an Ice Dogs home game on the Saturday, and the Brave won 7-2 against the Ice Dogs. And then they travelled to Newcastle, the Ice Dogs, on the following day for the final Newcastle North Stars home game of the season, where the North Stars won 14-0. That's right, I said 14-0 on the Sunday. So not a good day for the Ice Dogs, as we'll go into some detail. And then the final series of the weekend was the Adrenaline and the Thunder in Adelaide. And on Saturday, the Adelaide Adrenaline beat the Thunder 5-4. And then it was the same score again on Sunday to the Adrenaline. However, that was in a shootout. The Adrenaline winning 5-4 to the Thunder in a shootout. So let's have a look at how that left the competition table after 28 games. Newcastle North Stars on top, 63 points. The Melbourne Ice second, 56 points. The Thunder third, 48 points. And the Brave, 47 points. That was the top four. They were followed by the Adrenaline on 42, the Mustangs on 41, the Bears on 37, and the Ice Dogs on 0. So top four ended up being North Stars 63, Ice 56, Thunder 48, Brave 47, and then in fifth with the Adrenaline on 42. The Mustangs come back after spending most of the year in seventh. They ended up in sixth on 41. The Bears finished on 37 and the Ice Dogs on 0. Looking at each individual team, after 28 games, the Newcastle North Stars won 19 in regulation, lost 4 in regulation. They had 1 overtime win or 1 shootout win, 4 shootout losses for 63 points. The Ice had 15 regulation wins, 7 regulation losses, 5 shootout wins, 1 shootout loss for 56 points. The Thunder had 14 regulation wins, 9 regulation losses, 1 shootout win, 4 shootout losses for 48. And then Brave in 4th position, 13 regulation wins, 10 regulation losses, 3 shootout wins, 2 shootout losses, and 47 points. And then we come down to the Adelaide Adrenaline, who were 11, 11, 3 and 3. The Mustangs were 11, 12, 3 and 2. The Bears were 11, 14, 1 and 2. And then the Ice Dogs, they had, of course, those points deducted. So for the tally, so it would end up right, that was made into a draw. They had 26 losses in regulation, the one overtime win against the Bears, and then they had the points deducted for not enough players, and they ended up on 0. Looking at the scoring leaders, Geordie Woodrick finished up with 91 points, Stephen Blunden 79, Luke Moffat, even though he wasn't here for a major part of the second half of the season, finished on 65, Kelly Joffrey 61, Jan Safar on 56, Joe Harcherick 52, along with Tommy Powell and Matt Armstrong on 51. They're all the points totals in regular season. Geordie Woodrick for the Newcastle North Stars ended up, he played 28 games, 44 goals, 47 assists, 91 points. Stephen Blunden for the CBR Brave played 24 games, 28 goals, 51 assists, 79 points. Luke Moffat from the North Stars, 21 games played, 33 goals, 32 assists, 65 points. Kelly Joffrey for the CBR Brave played 21 games, 28 goals for 33 assists, 61 points. Jan Safar finished with 28 games played, 11 goals, 45 assists and 56 points. And one thing to remember about Safar is he is a defenseman. Joe Harcherick for the Bears played 28 games, 27 goals, 25 assists and 52 points. Tommy Powell from the Ice played 28 games, 21 goals, 31 assists and 52 points. And Matt Armstrong from the Ice, 26 games, 19 goals, 32 assists and 51 points. Now the goalie leaders, now this is somewhat inflated, the actual results on the front page of the league site, because they've got some players there who haven't played many games, primarily as backups on there. But Dane Davis had a great season in the end, 18 wins, 2.79 goals against average, and a save percentage of 91.2. And then we come down to somebody like Mark Ugenberger, 17 games, 9 wins, 3.08 goals against average, and 0.907 for a save percentage. Josh Innes, by the way, finished with 14 games, 6 wins, 3.09 goals against average, and a 0.921 save percentage. And so that's how basically the goalie scorers and the scoring leaders finished. Alex Leclerc, by the way, from the Melbourne Ice, he had a perfect record. 9 games played, 9 wins, 2.0 goals against average, and a 0.939 save percentage. So even though he's only played 9 games, they're still great figures, and one of the reasons why that the ice were right up there. So let's have a look at what happened in the final week, as we have a look at the games in some detail. Of course, I was in Melbourne for both of the Bears games, and the Fox game of the week was the Bears against the Ice. So a lot of these other games I haven't seen. So having a look at Mustangs against Bears at the Medibank Ice House, which, by the way, isn't the Medibank Ice House anymore, it's the O'Brien Group Arena. So there's been a name change there because of new owners. Thankfully, they didn't change that in the middle of the season. They waited until after the grand final to announce that. So in the first period, only 1 goal scored by the Mustangs early in the period. Vadim Vyasov from Sean Jones, 1-0 Mustangs at the end of the first. Mustangs well and truly on top. 24 shots on goal compared to 8 for the Bears. And then there was only 1 goal in the second period. Sean Jones with an unassisted goal to the Mustangs at 11:56. Shots on goal favouring the Mustangs 19-16. And then in the third period, the only goal to the Bears, Michael Schlamp. He lit the Schlamp, even though I thought it came off somebody else's stick, from Joe Hartcherick and Thomas Lander. That made it 2-1 Mustangs. And then about a minute later, Corey Banfield scored for the Melbourne Mustangs to make it 3-1 Mustangs. Corey Banfield from Victor Givshadeen and Joey Hughes. And then with 7 seconds remaining, the final goal, Joey Hughes from Corey Banfield and Pat O'Kane, 4-1 Mustangs. And shots on goal favouring the Mustangs, 16-8 for the period and 59-32 in total. Neither team converted their power plays. The Bears had 2 opportunities, the Mustangs had 6. And so all usual pretty normal sort of stuff in terms of penalties, except for 1, hooking, interference, boarding and tripping. There was a knee-on-knee contact between Sean Jones and Cameron Todd for the Bears. He had to leave the ice, didn't play the next day. Sean Jones received a 5-minute knee major and a 20-minute game misconduct. In the net, Jack Hayes started for the Mustangs, and he was in net for the entire game, saving 31 out of 32. And for the Bears, Camille Urina in net, saving 55 out of 59. So Camille certainly had a lot of work to do in that one. So the Mustangs well on top in that one. The next game, we'll look at the CBR Brave against the Sydney Ice Dogs. 7-2 CBR Brave, and needless to say that it was well and truly in favour of the Brave in this one. 2 goals late in the first period to CBR Brave from Kelly Joffrey, and Stephen Blunden made the score 2-0 at the end of the first. Shots on goal favouring the Brave 16-7. And then right away at the start of the second period, Stephen Blunden scored again to make it 3-0 Brave. And then the Ice Dogs got on the board 8 3/4 minutes into the period, a power play goal to Alex Stevenson. But the rest of the period, went CBR Braves' way with 2 goals to Stephen Blunden and Kelly Joffrey. And so it was 6-1 Brave at the end of the second. And so already we're looking at Stephen Blunden, and he's got 4 goals. Although I do remember reading during this game, or it might have been another game. I think it was another game. I think I'm getting my games mixed up. But he ended up with 4 goals, 2 assists. In the third period, the Ice Dogs got on the board midway through the period with an unassisted goal to Sean Hamilton. And then with 17 seconds to go, Ryan Johnson scored for the CBR Brave, making it 7-2 Brave. Shots on goal favouring the Brave 48-20. The Ice Dogs converted 1 of their power plays, and the Brave didn't convert 3 of theirs. A couple of misconducts in there, but nothing out of the ordinary in terms of penalties there. Now, I'm not sure who this goalie is or where Aleksi Toivonen was, but for the Brave, Alex Tetriot picked up the win for the CBR Brave in jersey 92, saving 18 out of 20. And for the Ice Dogs, Jake Burgess, his massive workload continues, saving 41 out of 48 for the loss there. So CBR Brave well and truly ahead of the Sydney Ice Dogs there. Then what would have been a cracking game in Adelaide, the Adelaide Adrenaline against the Perth Thunder. The Adrenaline opened the scoring with 12 seconds to go in the first period. Webke Darg, I don't think anybody's agreed to how to pronounce his name yet, got Adelaide on the board with 12 seconds remaining in the period. 1-0 Adelaide at the end of the first. Shots on goal favouring the Thunder, 11-7. And then there were two more goals to Adelaide early in the second period, both of them to Joseph Rezik, making the score 3-0 Adelaide before Perth got on the board. Two goals in the last minute. One of them was a power play goal to Luke Dagnault, and then Geordie Kryos scored as well. 3-2 to the Adelaide Adrenaline at the end of the second. Shots on goal again favouring the Thunder, 12-6. And then in the last period, an opening goal to Ryan Millard early in the period, 4-2 Adelaide Adrenaline. And then midway during the period, Sam Wilson scored for the Thunder, bringing it back to 4-3. And then Webke Darg again, with 7:05 remaining to make it 5-3 Adrenaline. And then a shorthanded goal with 1:05 remaining to Alex Hudson from the Thunder, making it the final score of 5-4 to the Adelaide Adrenaline. Shots on goal favouring the Thunder, 42-25, so they certainly had some chances there. Both teams converting 1 out of 3 of their power plays. Nothing really unusual, not many penalties given out there either. Now, I believe in this game that Mark Guggenberger for the Thunder picked himself up an injury. And so he played for 12 minutes 40. He saved all 5 of his shots. Dan Wilkinson came in the first period to back up for him, and he ended up saving 15 out of 20. He picked himself up the loss there in 37 minutes 17. And in net for the Adelaide Adrenaline, Peter King picked up the win, saving 38 out of 42. And so that was the Saturday game between the Adrenaline and the Thunder, the Adrenaline winning 5-4. We then have a look at the Sunday game between the Ice and the Bears in Melbourne. And the Melbourne Ice scored themselves 2 quick goals within the first 5 minutes to Paul Bazzanelli and Tommy Powell to make the score 2-0 Melbourne Ice, and then a power play goal to Joe Hartcherick for the Bears, making it 2-1 at the end of the first. That goal coming with 56 seconds to go in the first period. Shots on goal favouring the Bears, 13-6. I was there, certainly didn't feel like that. In the second period, 2 goals within the first 5 minutes again, one to Matt Armstrong, one to Tommy Powell. And that was the end score at the end of the second, 4-1 Melbourne Ice. Shots on goal favouring the Ice, 11-8. And then 2 Bears goals in pretty quick succession in the third period. It really brought the score close together. Adrian Esposito and a power play goal to Joe Hartcherick made it 4-3 Melbourne Ice, with 6:40 remaining, and it was a very, very tight 6 minutes 40 until Tommy Powell for the Ice picked himself up a empty net goal with 51 seconds remaining, giving the final score a 5-3 Melbourne Ice. Very, very close game and a very entertaining game. Shots on goal ended up favouring the Ice, 14-5 in the period and 31-26 in total. The Bears converted 2 out of 5 of their power plays, and the Ice failed to convert their only power play. And it was a performance from the Ice where I was wondering that they were struggling to pull away the Bears. So I was wondering how they were going to go the next week. Camille, your owner in net again for the Bears, saving 26 out of 30 with the loss. And Alex Leclerc in net for the Melbourne Ice, saving 23 out of 26, picking himself up the W. Then we head to Adelaide for the Sunday game between the Adrenaline and the Thunder. The Thunder opened up the scoring with a power play goal to Jordy Kraus early, 1-0 Thunder. And then with 27 seconds to go, Corey Hecklover picked himself up a goal for the Adrenaline, making it 1-1 at the end of the first. Shots on goal favouring the Thunder's 12-9. In the second period, two goals late, one to either team. Kane Fedor scored for the Adrenaline and Jonathan Bremner scored for the Thunder, making it 2-2 at the end of the second. Shots on goal favouring the Thunder 11-9. And then in the third period, the Adrenaline opened up the scoring to make it 3-2 Adrenaline with 11:55 remaining. Steve Best scored, and then two goals to the Thunder within 3 minutes to Tommy Sack and Alex Hudson. And then Webke Dag tied things up with 1:26 remaining, making it 4-4. Shots on goal in the third period were 17-15 to the Thunder, and in total 40-33 to the Thunder. The Adelaide Adrenaline did not convert any of their power plays, and the Perth Thunder converted 1 out of 3 of those. For the Adrenaline in the shootout, Horry Hecklover shot first, he scored. Alex Hudson missed for the Thunder. Greg Oddy scored for the Adrenaline. Jonathan Bremner scored for the Thunder. And then after Greg Oddy's successful shot from the Adrenaline, Webke Dag sealed it, and he scored. And so that was the win for the Adrenaline in the shootout. And not many penalties given out in that game either. Dan Wilkinson filled in for Mark Guggenberger, picked himself up the loss, 29, saved out of 33. Charlie Smart in net for the Adrenaline, saving 36 out of 40. So a highly entertaining game there, 5-4 in a shootout. Our final game of the regular season was certainly spectacular if you were an Ice Dogs fan, not. If you were a Newcastle North Stars fan, most certainly. If you like goal scoring, certainly. But, if you're an Ice Dogs fan, not necessarily. 14-0. 14-0. Five goals to the North Stars in the first period, three goals to the North Stars in the second, and six in the last period. So in the first period, goals to Jason Chalker, Jordy Woodrick with a shorthanded goal, Jan Safau with a power play goal, Jordy Woodrick with a power play goal, and Jordy Woodrick with a even strength goal. So he's picked up his hat-trick, Jordy Woodrick, in the first period. And then in the second period, they're all power play goals, Jordy Woodrick, Jan Safau, and Scott Swiston. And then in the third period, goals to Jordy Woodrick, Brian Bales, Matt Latini, Jordy Woodrick, Brian Bales, and Jordy Woodrick. Let me see. Jordy Woodrick, what did he end up with? 7 goals, 2 assists in the one game. Now, seriously, if that guy's not the MVP of the season, well, spoiler alert, he was. Yeah, massive effort in that game. 7 goals, 2 assists. Jan Safau, 2 goals, 7 assists. And Brian Bales, 2 goals, 3 assists. So a little bit of scoring going on in that game. Dane Davis picked himself up the win, saving 4 out of 4 in the first period, and then they decided to give him a bit of a rest and give Josh Brokman a go. And he saved all 16 of his. So that was a team shutout. And Jake Burgess, you got to feel sorry for the guy. Working at his absolute backside off, saving 46 out of 60. And he only had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8, 9, 10 skaters, himself and the backup. So, needless to say, the Newcastle North Stars just did whatever they wanted. So that, my friends, is the regular season done and dusted.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please rise for the Zamboni!
Thank you once again to the Zambonis for supplying all the music here on Irk to the Penalty Box. Anywho, let's continue with the final series, and what a final series it was. Now, I'm not going to be able to do this any justice just by reading the box score. I'm not going to do this any justice. If you can manage to get a hold of the game, or hopefully you Foxtel IQ'd it, pardon me, and you've saved it, that will be really good. Even if your team's not there next year, if you're in Australia and you can manage it, go to the finals. Even if your team's not there, it's going to be some great hockey, and it was great hockey all weekend with three very close games. The first game was 1v4, the Newcastle North Stars against the CBR Brave on the Saturday at 3 p.m. The Brave opened up the scoring at 13:52 with a shorthanded goal to Keller Joffrey. And then at 7:46, another shorthanded goal to Stephen Blunden from the Brave, making it 2-0 Brave at the end of the first. Shots on goal were favouring the North Stars 12-7 at that point. In the second period, Stephen Blunden scored again to make it 3-0 Brave, 11:01. And then the Newcastle North Stars got themselves on the board with a power play goal to Robert Molloy at 7:13. 3-1 to the Brave at the end of the second. Shots on goal favouring the North Stars 13-6. And then the third period was all Geordie Woodrick on the score sheet at 11:15, 5:51 and 1:11. Bringing it from 3-1 CBR Brave to the final score of 4-3. To the Newcastle North Stars, and both of those last two goals at 5:51 and 1:11, they were unassisted goals. And I do have to feel sorry for Oleski Toivonen with that last goal. He's put his glove up, and the puck's bobbled out of the glove and over the goal line. And so shots on goal ended up favouring the North Stars 13-7 in the period and 38-20 in total. The North Stars converted 1 out of 5 of their power plays, and the CBR Brave converted none out of 4 of those. Third star of the game was from CBR Brave, Stephen Blunden. Second star of the game, CBR Brave, Oleski Toivonen. And needless to say, the first star was Geordie Woodrick from the North Stars. Having a look at the goalie stats, Oleski Toivonen saved 34 out of 38. And he was playing very, very well, by the way. And Dane Davis also played well for the North Stars, saving 17 out of 20 for the win. So that would put the Newcastle North Stars into the grand final, but who would they play? The game straight after was the Melbourne Ice against the Perth Thunder, so 2-3-3. and there was no scoring in the first period at all. Shots on goal favouring the Ice 14-4. There was also no scoring in the second period. Shots on goal favouring the Thunder 11-8. And then to open up the scoring and the eventual final score, Mitch Humphries scored a power play goal at 16:57. Melbourne Ice 1-0. Shots on goal favouring the Thunder 13-11 in the period, but favouring the Ice in total 33-28. It was a highly spectacular game. The third star of the game goes to Mitch Humphries, the second star goes to Mark Guggenberger, and the first star goes to Alex Leclerc. And both goalies were certainly playing well. Leclerc got himself the shutout, saving all 28 shots, and Guggenberger saved 32 out of 33, so he couldn't ask much more from that. Very few penalties given, high-paced game, and it was very, very, very exciting. Ice gave through to the grand final, and they beat, and they go through and meet the Newcastle North Stars. And then if that wasn't enough, the grand final. Wow, the grand final. Newcastle North Stars against Melbourne Ice, 1-2. Newcastle North Stars opened the scoring at 6 minutes 20, thanks to you-know-who, Geordie Woodrick, 1-0, Newcastle North Stars. And then with 90 seconds to go in the period, none assisted goal to Tommy Powell, 1-1 at the end of the first. Shots on goal favouring the Newcastle North Stars, 11-9. And then there's no scoring in the second period, so it's still 1-1. Shots on goal favouring the North Stars, 9-8 in the period. And then in the third period, the Newcastle North Stars took the lead thanks to Yann Saffar with a minute 43 remaining, making it 2-1 Newcastle North Stars. And then with 31 seconds remaining, Mitch Humphries from the Melbourne Ice got a shorthanded goal to make it 2-2 with 31 seconds remaining. Shots on goal favouring the Ice 10-8 in the period. And then, unlike the regular season where we'd go straight to a shootout, we went to overtime. And in total, there were three shots. There were three shots from each team in overtime. And in the third minute of overtime, there was a penalty shot call against Todd Graham, who definitely obstructed Brian Bales in the act of scoring, so a penalty shot was awarded, and Brian Bales was successful with the penalty shot, and that meant that the Newcastle North Stars would be the premiers, winning 2-3, and the holders of the Goodall Cup for 2015. Neither team converted any of their power plays. Melbourne Ice had 4, the North Stars had 3. Shots on goal ended up favouring the North Stars, 31-30. And it was a very, very close game, as you could tell. So having a look in net, Dane Davis picked up the win, saving 37 out of 39. And Alex Leclerc saved 28 out of 31. So that game could have went either way. A high-quality game, best two teams, arguably all year. Newcastle was certainly out in front of everyone else that year, and they certainly deserved the victory. And I was there, and it was epic scenes. Really happy for all the team and all the off-ice team in Newcastle. So that was a great game. So Brian Bales picked himself up the championship winning goal, you could say. And apparently he'd said that he didn't want to do any shootouts or anything like that during the year. But on that occasion, because he was the one that was fouled, he didn't have any choice. He had to take it, and thankfully for the Newcastle North Stars, he did take it and he did win. So that was, needless to say, very good for the Newcastle North Stars, not so much for the Melbourne Ice, but as I said, that could have went either way.
We'll be right back. big hand for the Zambonis.
And so the final thing that we have to look at for the season is the All-Star weekend in Newcastle. And unfortunately, because I was sick, I was unable to drive up to Newcastle and see the game. There were two teams of All-Stars. One was captained by Michael Schlamp, so they became Team Schlamp. And one was captained by Brian Bales from the Newcastle North Stars, and they became Team Bales. So on Team Schlamp, there was Robert Molloy from the Newcastle North Stars, Jamie Woodman from the Perth Thunder, Daniel Pataki from the Ice Dogs, Brian Fiennes from the Ice Dogs, James Byers and David Dunwoody from the CBR Brave, Matt Armstrong and Tommy Power from the Melbourne Ice, Michael Schlamp from the Bears, Pat O'Kane from the Mustangs, Thomas Lander and Adrian Esposito from the Bears, Matt Wattini and from the Newcastle North Stars, then Vadim Vyasov from the Mustangs. And then in net, there was Fraser Carson from the Mustangs and Dane Davis from the Newcastle North Stars. That's Team Schlamp. And then Team Bales, Robert Hasselhurst from the Thunder, Paddy Ward from the Bears, Shannon McGregor from the Ice Dogs, Thomas Manko from the CBR Brave, Matt Lindsay from the North Stars, Joseph Rezik from the Adrenaline, Mitch Humphries from the Ice, Brian Bales from the Newcastle North Stars, of course, Team Bales, the captain, Kieran Webster from the Perth Thunder, along with Andrew Cox, Kai Mittenen from the CBR Brave, Luke Dagnault from the Thunder, Stephen Blunden from the CBR Brave, and Patrick Naden from the Newcastle North Stars, who was filling in for JFK from the North Stars. And then in net, Josh Brakeman from the Newcastle North Stars and Camille Yorana from the Bears. So before we have a look at the actual All-Star game on the Sunday. Now, of course, I'm not going to be able to do this justice again, and I haven't seen all of this one. But we had the skills competitions on Saturday. Now, the skills competition, they were actually played or held with the players from each team wearing their own team jerseys. And so Robert Hasselhurst, he won in a final time of 12.87 seconds. And so Heat 1, Kieran Webster from Team Bales defeated Daniel Pataki from Team Schlamp. In Heat 2, Tommy Power defeated Mitch Humphries, that's Team Schlamp versus Team Bales. And then in Heat 3, Rob Hasselhurst from Team Bales defeated Matt Wattini and Team Schlamp. And then in Heat 5, Matt Armstrong from Team Schlamp defeated Brian Bales from Team Bales. And then in Heat 5, I'm very stunned by this result. Thomas Lander from Team Schlamp defeated JFK from Team Bales. Now, what's going on there, JFK? And then in the final, Rob Hasselhurst from Team Bales defeated Matt Wattini from Team Schlamp. And so Rob Hasselhurst wins the fastest skater. Having a look at the breakaway challenge. Now, a lot of this was creative goal scoring, is what I'd like to call it, where you get points. You get points, and you're also rated on time, and you're also rated if you actually score. And each skater was given 3 shots. I'd say Brian Bales, Stephen Blunden, Andrew Cox competed for Team Bales with Camille Yorana in net, and Brian Fiennes, Michael Schlamp, James Byers for Team Schlamp, and Dane Davis in net for Team Schlamp. So there was a bit of trickery going on as well. I'd say Brian Bales won that one. Then we have a look at the All-Stars shooting accuracy, where you had to shoot a series of series of targets in a goal. And so, having a look, Joseph Rezik ended up winning that one with the total time, or the time, his fastest time was 17.12 seconds. So having a look at the heats, heat one, Matt Armstrong from Team Schlamp, 21.5 seconds, defeated Mitch Humphries from Team Bales, 43.6 seconds. So Matt Armstrong went through. And then in the second heat, Joseph Rezik, 17.1 seconds from Team Bales, defeated Robert Moy, 34.8 seconds from Team Schlamp. And then in Heat 3, Adrian Esposito from Team Schlamp, 34.8 seconds, defeated Luke Dagnall, 51.4 seconds. And then in Heat 4, Stephen Blunden from Team Bales, 19.5 seconds against the Schlampmeister, 30.2 seconds. And then they look up, they do the fastest time from each team. And so that ended up being Joseph Rezik from Team Bales against Matt Armstrong from Team Schlamp. And Joseph Rezik won in the final, 20.37 seconds against Matt Armstrong, 29.97 seconds. And so Joseph Rezik from the Adrenaline wins the accuracy competition. And then in the stick handling competition, Tommy Power from Team Schlamp wins the stick handling competition. That's basically an obstacle. That's basically an obstacle course. In Heat 1, Jamie Woodman from Team Schlamp defeated Brian Bales from Team Bales. In Heat 2, Tommy Power from Team Schlamp defeated Shannon McGregor from Team Bales. In Heat 3, Kai Mintonen from Team Bales defeated Daniel Pataki from Team Schlamp. And then in Heat 4, Adrian Esposito from Team Schlamp defeated Mitch Humphries from Team Bales. And then in the final, Tommy Power from Team Schlamp defeated Kai Mintonen from Team Bales. And so Tommy Power ends up winning the stick handling competition. Then we had the hardest shot, which was an interesting. And so the way that they've done this is that each player's had two attempts. In Heat 1, Stephen Blunden defeated Brian Fiennes. So Stephen Blunden from Team Bales versus Brian Fiennes from Team Schlamp. Blunden's two shots were both at 83 miles an hour. Brian Fiennes was 79 at 83 miles an hour. And then Matt Armstrong from Team Schlamp defeated JFK from Team Bales in the second heat. Matt Armstrong was 96 and 85 miles per hour, while both JFK shots were at 85 miles an hour. And then in Heat 3, Shannon McGregor from Team Bales defeated Robert Molloy from Team Schlamp. McGregor's shots were at 85 and 74, and Robert Molloy's was at 84 and 81. And then Heat 4, Rob Hasselhurst from Team Bales defeated Michael Schlamp from Team Schlamp. Hasselhurst's shots were at 83 and 79, and then Schlamp's were at 83 and 76. And then in the final, Matt Armstrong from Team Schlamp defeated JFK from Team Bales, 88 to 81. So if anyone asks you how fast does the puck go in the Australian League, the highest has now been measured from Matt Armstrong at 88 miles an hour. Yeah, 88 miles an hour. Hang on, that was the final. No. So in the second heat, Matt Armstrong actually went 96 miles an hour. So if anyone asks you the highest speed recorded in the Australian Ice Hockey League in 2012, it's not 2012, what am I saying? 2015, 96 miles an hour, Matt Armstrong, Melbourne Ice, shooting for Team Australia. So there we go there. And then the elimination... the elimination shootout is a little bit more difficult to describe. It's more of a it's a harder one to describe without trying to read the article. But in the end, for Team Schlamp, Adrian Esposito, Daniel Bataki, James Byers, and Matt Watini ended up making it through round one. And Joseph Rezik and Luke Dagnold ended up making it through for Team Bales. And then Matt Watini scored for Team Schlamp in the second round, while nobody else did. And so he won that competition, and Team Schlamp won the skills competition 16-13. Now, how they all figure that out, I've got no idea. But something that's a lot easier to figure out is the All-Star game that was held on the Sunday, where Team Schlamp ended up winning 7-3. So let's have a look at this. In the first period, Vadim Vyasov for Team Schlamp scored at 11-21, 1-0 Schlamp. And then Team Bales equalised at 4:49 thanks to Stephen Blunden, 1-1. And then Team Schlamp scored 3 unanswered goals in the first period to Brian Fiennes and 2 to Pat O'Kane. And the last one from Pat O'Kane was unassisted. So it was 4-1 Schlamp at the end of the first. Shots on goal favouring Schlamp 13-7. In the second period, Brian Bale scored for Team Bales to make it 4-2. And then 2 unanswered goals again to Pat O'Kane, making it 6-2 Team Schlamp at the end of the second. Shots on goal were even at 11. And then there was a further goal to Team Schlamp thanks to Tommy Powell at 10:57 to make it 7-2. And then Patrick Naden from the Newcastle North Stars scored for Team Bales to make it 7-3. And that's the way it remained. There were no penalties in the game. And, you know, being an All-Star game, you know, things could have been let go. From what I saw on the Fox coverage, it was all in good fun and all very good. So, looking at the goalie situation, there was 4 goalies used, and their times that look like they've been averaged out, all playing 25 minutes each, according to this. Fraser Carson from Team Schlamp picked up the win. He started, and Dean Davis backed up. Fraser Carson saved 10 out of 12, and Dean Davis saved 22 out of 23. For Team Bales, Camille Urana picked up the loss, saving 13 out of 17, and then Josh Brogman backed up, 14 out of 17. So, good game, by the looks of that. Wasn't totally full. You know, the end of a long season, lots of imports had already left by that stage, and there is talk about this game next year being held more in the middle of the year, so some more of the imports could play as well. But if you have a look at it, considering that it was basically 2-3 weeks after, or 2 weeks after the grand final, there were still a few imports that played. Pat O'Kane, Thomas Lander, Vadim Vyasov, let me see, for team, Luke Dagnold, Stephen Blunden. So there were a few there that played. Of course, there could have been, and Camille Urana, of course, so there could have been more, but there was quite a few that played. So that brings us to the end of Act of the Penalty Box for 2015. Certainly been a fun ride, and, you know, I made all 28 games for the Bears. I made it to the final series. The only thing that I didn't go to that I could have went to, although I was sick, was the All-Star weekend. So it's been a great week. If you've got this far and you've listened to me, I know this has been a very dry podcast, but that's the way it was designed. Congratulations to you. Let me know who you are, and I'll say hi next time I'm at a rink. But that brings us to the end. Now, at the start of the year, I didn't know how far I was going to get, and I didn't know what was going to happen, of course, during the whole year. But I made it. I got to do all the road trips. I did all 28 games. It was a lot of fun. And then, of course, there was running Twitter and social media for the Bears. That was all good as well. And then the unexpected guest appearance on the Adelaide Adrenaline's radio stream. And then, of course, the Bears Hockey Radio with Nick and Julian as well. That was all very unexpected and not something that I expected to happen at the start of the year. But it was certainly a great way. And who would have thought that I'd do match commentary and all of that sort of stuff? And, you know, I expected a certain amount of things to happen while I was doing social media and stuff, but I never expected to do commentary of any sort, let alone doing play-by-play commentary as well. So lots of fun. It was great meeting so many people over the year. Some of them I only, of course, spoke to online. Some of them I saw at rinks and that sort of thing. And, you know, there's a lot of great people across this league, a lot of people volunteering a lot of serious time to make this league work, all the way from the league commissioner all the way down and through all of the clubs. So many people behind the scenes that make this thing work, and nobody gets paid for it. And so it's been a very interesting and entertaining year of hockey. Of course, for the Bears, I would have loved to have seen them go better. They were running at some stages as high as fourth, and so who knows what next year is going to bring. And so, because I don't know what's going to happen next year, at this stage I'm going to say that this is the final episode of Act of the Penalty Box. I'm not going to go through and cover the NHL, WHL, any of the other HLs that I might want to talk about. Just talking about the WHL, for instance, I'll be still following the fortunes of the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Hockey League. In the NHL, my allegiances are probably going to change a bit, considering that the St. Louis Blues traded TJ Oshie, and he was the main reason that I was following them in the first place. So he got signed to the Washington Capitals, so I'll probably be following them, apart from the Nathan Walker connection, of course. He's coming back after his ACL injury last year. But yeah, I'm, for the lack of a better word, in the East, I'm Team Caps. And in the West, for the lack of a better word, I'll be sort of alternating between the Blues and the Blackhawks as my teams in the West, and in the East, between the Caps and the Blue Jackets. The Blue Jackets do a great job on social media, and they've got an awesome cannon, and they've got a great young team. And so I'll be alternating between the Caps and the Blue Jackets in the East. And this is how great the world of technology is. It's the 20th of September as I am recording this, and very soon the pre-season games are going to start in the NHL. So Friday night going into Saturday morning, I was watching day one of training camp for the Blue Jackets, watching live, and it wasn't the normal Blue Jackets dome. No, it wasn't there. Nationwide Arena wasn't there. It was at the what they called the Ohio Health House, and so one of their secondary facilities, and you know, watching all the players go through all their paces, that sort of stuff. And I shouted out to the CBJ social media team on Twitter, and they shouted back. So that was cool. The Blues never did that to me, but CBJ are really good on social media. So it'll be interesting to watch this season. Not going to talk about it here on the podcast, of course. There's so much going on at the moment, and next year with Bears Hockey Radio most likely going to be going for the entire season, and I don't know how much hosting / play-by-play commentary I'll be doing. I don't know that. We have to have a chat to Nick and Julian in the off seasons, and you know, work out what they're doing, work out what I'm doing, etc. The Australian Ice Hockey League, of course, will be back starting April next year. Pre-season before that, of course, but it's been a lot of fun. So until next time, wherever that next time is, I'm Eric. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, wherever you are and whatever I'm doing, keep your stick on the ice and keep out of the penalty box. Good night, Interweb. Thanks for listening.
Get on the train that takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while.
Why?
It's an away game. It's an away game.
I'm coming home soon.
Get on the train that takes me away. Not gonna see you for a while. Get on the train that takes me away. I'm coming back to you in style. It's an away game. It's an away game. It's an away game. Another away game. No more away games. Just us two. Just us two. Just us two. Just us two.